It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up, it's Wisconsin Life and a look at an inspiring journey by sea. First, it's time to talk 2016. As expected, Hillary Clinton is running. She announced yesterday in a video featuring a variety of Americans in different transitional periods in their lives. She, too, she says, in a transitional period, she's running for president. Florida Senator Marco Rubio also told supporters this morning that he's joining the race. He'll make that official in downtown Miami tonight. He's the third Republican entering the ring following Rand Paul last week and Ted Cruz a couple of weeks ago. Here with us to make sense of what we're seeing so far in terms of communication styles, media strategies, is Mike Wagner, assistant professor in the School of Journalism at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Hillary Clinton's announcement has probably been the least, I don't know, conventional so far. She released a 2-minute video yesterday in which she only appears for about the last 30 seconds. Here's a clip.
I've started a new career recently. This is a fifth-generation company, which means a lot to me. This country was founded on hard work, and it really feels good to be a part of that.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion.
Hillary Clinton's campaign announcement. I mean, we've been waiting on the edge of our seats. Is she running? Is she running? Is she running? Well, she's running, and it turns out to be this almost inconsequential video that announces it. Why this sort of softball approach?
Well, Hillary Clinton is a known commodity, and so she doesn't need to have a big event where she also takes questions, because questions from the news media are a much less controlled environment than a video. And so here she's using the other people in the campaign announcement video to tell the stories that are framing what she says the campaign ought to be about. She talks for a few seconds, and she's trying to communicate a few things, the economic message that she has, and that she's not taking this for granted. She's trying not to make it about her, responding to some of the critiques that she received in 2008 when she was not successful in securing the Democratic nomination. But mostly this is about safety. If I don't appear in front of reporters, I can't get asked hard questions or make a gaffe.
And would you assume that at this point she's got some of her strategy hammered out, and this video about economic equality kind of putting her as a celebrity in the back burner is a template for what the rest of the campaign's going to look like?
I imagine that's their plan right now, but as the former boxer Mike Tyson used to say, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And so until something happens, until a Democrat throws his or her hat in the ring to run against Hillary Clinton, she'll have her plan that she wants to go ahead and move forward with, talking about economic inequality, talking about her qualifications, talking about the stories of the everyday Americans she says she's fighting for. So we'll see a lot of that from her until she's forced off script.
And one challenge, I imagine, is to reintroduce her. She's been introduced. She's, you know, had her debutante ball, so to speak. Not a great allegory for the first potential woman president. But, I mean, how do you get her out there again and make her fresh?
Well, she's gone to hire consultants who are good at doing just that. One of the people she hired is one of the people who's kind of been behind kind of the public branding of the First Lady Michelle Obama. And, you know, Michelle Obama is one of the most admired figures on planet Earth. And so that group has done a good job introducing the First Lady to the world. And Hillary Clinton is using that same person to kind of reintroduce herself. There's always the issue of how many reintroductions can a known commodity have. And this was a problem Al Gore ran into in 2000, where people had known him as a senator, they had known him as vice president, and then the campaign made something out of him now wearing earth tones on the campaign trail, and people started wondering, well, who is this guy? Why do we keep having to reintroduce ourselves to someone we know? And so former Secretary Clinton is going to have to make sure that she communicates her record, which she has as a lawyer, a first lady in Arkansas, a first lady of the country, a senator, and the Secretary of State, and whatever new things she wants to present to the public, because elections are, or politicians at least believe elections are about the future, and she's going to talk a lot about that.
We're talking right now with Mike Wagner, assistant professor in the School of Journalism at UW-Madison, taking stock of the known candidates' strategies so far as they announced for president, starting with Hillary Clinton. And also today we have Marco Rubio announcing he's running. He's going to give a talk tonight in front of the Freedom Tower in Miami. He's the third Republican in the ring. What do you make about how he's handled it so far and his plans for the rest of the day?
Well, he's tried to walk the line of being relevant in the modern world with the way his social media has started. But he's also doing a traditional kickoff because he's just a less well-known commodity nationally than someone like Hillary Clinton is. And so he needs the event. He needs to have video on the television news with the cheering background and him giving a soundbite and a speech about what it is he's all about. People who do know him might remember him from giving the Republican response to the State of the Union a few years ago, where he famously reached off camera to grab a bottle of water. But he's also trying to, in recent days, communicate to a younger audience. He was on The Daily Show fairly recently, you know, which is not a place most Republican presidential candidates love to go. And so he's trying to find a way to connect with younger members of the party as he introduces himself to the country.
Now, his announcement came right on the heels of Hillary's announcement. Is that intentional? Is he trying to either ride some of those headlines or maybe take away some of her press?
I don't know that they're doing too much of that because right now they're talking to different audiences. Hillary's primary audience right now are Democratic voters in the Democratic primaries, and Marco Rubio's audience is Republican voters in the Republican primaries. And they're communicating to the same news media. And so, you know, there is the idea that Rubio's announcement today makes Clinton's announcement a little bit more older news, and so she'll get less coverage in the mainstream media than she might have if Rubio didn't announce today. But, you know, on the list of things that matter with respect to who wins the presidential nominations, when you announce is pretty close to the bottom.
I was going to ask you how much it matters, both how you announce and when you announce. I mean, is this really going to matter as we get into the thick of it, the nitty-gritty, these first announcements?
Not really. What matters is how these candidates appeal to people in their party who decide who the nominees are going to be, elected officials, key members who kind of run, you know, city, county, state-level parties, people who donate lots of money to campaigns, people in the invisible primary that we don't always see on election day are really consequential. And so how Senator Rubio and Secretary Clinton and Senator Cruz and Senator Paul are appealing to the key members of their party is going to be really important. And we'll see some of that covered in the news media. We'll see some of that in polling. But what really matters is who's endorsing them, who's throwing the weight of their endorsement behind these candidates, at least at this stage.
Now, given the number of likely candidates on the Republican side, what kind of media strategies do candidates have to pull together if they really want to have a shot at that nomination?
Well, they need to show the party insiders that they're viable. So they have to get good coverage from the national media. They want to have polls that show that they're competitive in the primary, but also against Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side. And they want to, you know, post good numbers when they're reporting their fundraising, when they start to have to report those kinds of numbers. And so if they can do those things, those are all stories. Those are all reasons to get attention. And once the debates start, you know, in several months, then it'll be a lot easier for them to get attention. But right now they need something good that shows they're a viable candidate if they want positive attention. There's plenty of ways to get negative attention, but they want positive attention.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about negative attention. Rand Paul got some negative attention mm-hmm. in the media last week for being kind of confrontational with an interviewer on the Today Show. Does sort of negative or controversial attention like that, does it still sort of play to the adage, you know, all publicity is good publicity?
Well, what's really important there is the audience, right? So Savannah Guthrie is asking Senator Paul questions, and he pushed back pretty aggressively on the Today Show. And some people were really turned off by that, but a lot of Republican voters who believe the news media are a bunch of liberals like the fact that he pushed back against that. And so the people he has to appeal to now, conservative Republicans who vote in primaries, were the kind of people who are receptive to questioning the motives of the news media when they seek to ask questions of candidates for president.
So as you look here at the beginning of the race for a lot of folks, we've talked about Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton. What kind of advice would you give them this time around? We're in a slightly different world. Last time, Barack Obama was considered a revolutionary for his use of the social media, mm-hmm. the grassroots organizing, and that's even more so times whatever now. What kind of advice would you give in that world?
Well, it's important to stay relevant in that world. It's a great way to raise money, and it's a great way to organize volunteers. And the Obama campaign has been outstanding at those things. And they've also were very good at identifying voters who might vote for them but weren't yet locked in to vote for them. And that's something, you know, that the Clinton campaign can certainly learn from, just as the campaigns on the Republican side can learn from. And so identifying how do we figure out who are our supporters and making sure they get to the polls, and then finding out who might be our supporters and how can we knock on their door, call them, send them literature, send them emails to make sure that they are in our column on the primary or caucus day in that particular primary.
And we'll leave it there. Mike, thank you so much for coming in again.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Mike Wagner, assistant professor in the School of Journalism at UW-Madison, about the communication strategies we've seen so far from the four candidates who've entered the ring for the 2016 presidential nomination.